Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 19, these are God's words. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So far, God's word.
So what does it say not to enter in verse 1, Ezekiel?
Sorry, verse 14. So chapter 4, verse 14, what does it say not to enter? The path of the wicked, that's right. And what path is compared to it in verse 18, Victoria?
Yes.
The path of the just. So both the wicked and the just have a what, John? John, did you just throw your voice into Enoch's mouth? Okay, a path. That's right, Enoch. That's fine. So it's not just that one is forgiven and one is not, is it? Because sometimes I hear Christians and they talk about belonging to Christ as if it doesn't actually make a difference in how we live. They say, oh, well, we're just as sinful as they are. Well, no, we're not. Outside of Christ, we're just as sinful, we would be just as sinful as they are. But that's the whole point, isn't it? That Jesus, in whom alone we may have forgiveness, and to whom we belong if we believe in him, is it possible that he would actually make no difference? I wish that was a gasp at the horror of the thought, Victoria. It's not possible. In fact, it's very blasphemous and shameful to think of our Lord and his power, his wisdom, the love in which he laid down his life, the effectiveness of his blood, the pouring out of his spirit, the use of his word. To think of all those things as not making a difference. And it's even worse when we live in such a way, having his name on our lips, that gives the impression to others that he doesn't make a difference. Don't we dishonor and shame the name of Christ if we live in a way that looks like he doesn't make a difference? Well, there is a difference. They're on two different paths, aren't they? And they must be very different paths, because the one path, the prophet Solomon, in this case, who was both prophet and king, by the Spirit says, you watch out, do not enter the path of the wicked. Not, you know, there might be some times when there's something in their path that you want to avoid. He says, no, don't enter it at all. Pretty good indicator that that something is not wise is if you see a wicked person doing it. No, they might walk straight for a while, and the path of the righteous might walk straight for a while. They might have a right turn somewhere in their path, and the path of the righteous might, to use just the analogy, just the word picture. Right? But it's not the same path, just because there are some parallels. Even when you eat or drink or whatever you do, you're doing it differently than the wicked does, aren't you? Why? Because whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Does the wicked love to honor God and glorify him in his eating and his drinking? Okay, so we really can say, I don't want to do anything like the wicked does it. So without faith, it is impossible to please God, and I want to do everything by faith. Beatrice, don't do that. Okay, so there is an entire path, two entire paths, which means the idea that something is quote-unquote normal never makes it right or okay. I know we slip into thinking that way all the time, but let's not reason that way at all. Let's reason from how God made the world, how God made us, what he says in his word. We may come to the conclusion that something is okay that way. But let's not come to that conclusion by saying, well, it's normal. People have been doing it for hundreds of years. Okay. That doesn't make it right or wrong. That doesn't make it right. Okay, so do not enter. Do not walk in it. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. How important do you think that is? That's 6 different commands to avoid living the way the wicked do. God cares very much for us. Remember yesterday in chapter 3 and why he gave us his law and how the word my son shows that to us. God, who loves us so dearly, cares very much about the way that we live and gives here a sixfold command. Sometimes I hear people say, well, if something's repeated in the Bible, that's important. Well, everything in the Bible is important, but it is emphasized by repetition. And then you have a place like holy, holy, holy. That is really strongly emphasized. They say it 3 times. Well, here's something God said 6 times in a row with very urgent language. And I'm afraid one of the reasons that he needs to say it that way is because we don't think about the path that we're on. Okay? So, one of the things that's wrong with the path is they can't do what unless they've done evil, Carissa?
Sleep.
Okay, so they get so addicted to their wickedness, to living in a way that doesn't acknowledge God at all and isn't for his glory, that even if they can't put their finger on why, if they haven't done enough wickedness today, they're laying in bed and they're tossing and turning and they're troubled and they can't figure out why. Kind of like if you have something that's part of your routine and you overlooked it I just realized I forgot to brush my teeth, or I didn't have my glass of red wine, or I left the light on in the whatever room, or whatever it is. Okay? Something that is just so part of your routine that you don't feel right unless you've done it, even if you don't realize you hadn't done it. Wickedness is like that to them. If we fear the Lord, if we belong to him and love him, we don't want to get in such a habit of being proud or looking down upon others or being untruthful or coveting in our hearts or grumbling against our circumstances. Whatever it is, whatever aspect of wickedness it is, they especially the scripture especially highlights violence in verse 17. It's like eating bread and drinking wine to them. Of course, this doesn't work if you're a teetotaler, because you wouldn't read drinking wine as like something that is totally normal and a regular part of your day that you don't even notice as, you know, particularly significant. But that's the way it is for those who are on the path of wickedness. Eventually, wickedness and violence is just like, you know, having lunch. Oh, we did have bread at lunch. That works. Did you notice when, as you were eating at lunch today, we're like, we are having bread. How odd this is.
We did just drink one.
Well, it was 21 seed multi-grain organic bread. Very fancy, right? But you didn't know that's eating bread. What's the big deal? Is that not how the wicked are with their sin? It's just like eating bread. Just like drinking wine. Of course, if you only get to have it as a special treat every once in a while, that's different. But it's used as an illustration of something that's super duper normal here in verse 17. The path of the just is not super duper normal to them. You can see there's a little bit of an imbalance in the symmetry between verses 14 through 17 and verses 18 and 19. The path of the just is like the shining sun. In what way is it like the shining sun? Who can explain to me the second half of verse 18? Yes, Enoch.
The sun is shining.
Okay. I think that if you look at the second half of verse 18, that is true. But I think the idea is from daybreak to noon there, right? Or to the high point. Does yours say the sun shines ever brighter unto the full day? Well, New King James says perfect, but it means full. The idea is the path of the just is pretty good already, right? The light breaks the darkness and when it gets to be winter here and I have to pace inside before the dawn breaks in the morning when I'm doing my reading and doing my boring little laps in the fellowship hall. And then the dawn breaks and just a little bit of sunlight. And I can go outside and it's nice and freezing and all that stuff. But just a little bit of sun breaks the darkness. And yet, even though the darkness is broken and there is life and light and all of these possibilities open up for you, and being right with God and Jesus Christ and starting on that path of righteousness where you love him and you start to operate out of a principle of loving the Lord and wanting to obey him and wanting to serve him. You're right, Enoch. The sun doesn't shine all the time, and often in our Christian lives, our light is so dim that it feels like it's not shining, even though we have to tell ourselves differently with our theology. It's still a hint of something that is going to be brilliantly glorious by the time it's done. Because that daybreak is the promise of a high noon to come. And there will be a day, if you are on what verse 18 calls the path of the just, there will be a day where Jesus says, and you wonder sometimes, you just want to ask the Lord and the apostles that were being carried by the Spirit. And, yeah, like when Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom and favor and with God and with men. Were you thinking of Proverbs 3 and how the law and the commandments, if you bind them around your neck, will cause you to grow in favor with God? Were you thinking about that, Luke? Is that how the Holy Spirit had you do that? When Jesus says that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, there in Matthew. Is it Matthew or John? I think it's Matthew. Is he thinking about, is he talking about what's going to happen eventually for those of us who belong to God in Christ according to Proverbs 4, verse 18? Well, may the Lord grant to us to sixfold avoid the path of the wicked and to rejoice that if we belong to Christ, we're already on the path of the just, and that whatever little light we have, that it is the guarantee, the promise of finally being perfected. Be confident that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of your word. Thank you for the Proverbs, which continuously remind us of the character of Christ and what he produces in us who belong to him. Do produce in us an avoidance of the path of the wicked and a walking in the path of the just, of the righteous. And grant that whatever light we do have would be a blessing to us and bring honor to Jesus. Grant that we would be sure that you are working in us, that we would eagerly cooperate with and participate in that work until at last you have perfected us in Christ. You have made our walking in righteousness to shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. So bless this portion of your word and this time of worship. Unto that we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John, which verse?